You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Tell them Locked On sent you. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder, Baseball Central. I'm flying solo today. So Vince and I were both at the game on Monday night, and it takes me longer to get back to my parents' house than it does to take him to get back to his place. And so we decided I would go solo tonight, and maybe him solo on Wednesday. We'll both be at the game again on Wednesday, but we'll save that decision for another day. But for today, I'm going to talk to you about this game. The Dodgers beat the Braves 5-3. The Giants lost, and so the Dodgers picked up a game. They're only a game and a half back now. The Brewers shut down the Giants. So all in all, a good thing. We're going to talk about the home runs. The Dodgers hit four home runs. We're going to talk about a weird play that happened in the eighth inning, I think. Talk about double switching Mookie out of the game, talk about Julio, just a lot of stuff about the game. So that's the plan for today. But first, I want to remind you, please follow or subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, I guess let's first talk about Julio. Julio pitched for the Dodgers and became the first major league pitcher to 15 wins this year. He's now 15-3. A lot of that is run support. He's got a lot of run support, but also he lowered his ERA today, I think down to like 3.19. I think that was what I saw. Let me double check that really quick. But yeah, I mean, that is, it's like, it's high for a Dodgers starter, but 3.17. But it's actually really, really good. And so Julio has been kind of an underrated part of this Dodgers rotation, just his durability, the innings he's given, and just being really, really good. I was talking with some people before the game today wondering if the Dodgers will move him back to the bullpen. I don't think they will during the regular season. There was a time I thought they would, but I think I've decided I don't think they will. He did have that short IL stint, and with only, you know, a month left in the season now, it seems likely 30 games left, he's probably in the rotation for the long haul. But I've been thinking more and more, I think we talked about it on this show, about Julio in the postseason, and just because you don't necessarily need a fourth starter that much, I feel like Julio's value might be greater to the Dodgers as a multi-inning reliever, kind of like he was in the postseason last year. And he did start a game or two too, but you know, being available to come in and pitch out of the bullpen and get some of those big innings. Like when I think about David Price, I feel like if he's not the fourth playoff starter, I don't know what role he really fits on the team, if there is a role for him on the postseason roster, just because it's, I don't know, he's not, his stuff doesn't really play up out of the bullpen, I don't think. He hasn't, you know, so maybe David Price is your fourth starter, which you might not even need a fourth starter in the NLDS. And in the NLCS, you know, you probably do need a fourth starter unless they did want to go with everybody on short rest. But, having Price with, Julio and maybe Gonsolin or whatever ready to back him up. But, you know, then there's also the fact that Clayton Kershaw at this point, we don't know for sure how built up he will be by the postseason. Kershaw did throw a simulated game, I believe. He definitely threw a bullpen session. I think it was a simulated game on Monday before the game. He and Gonsolin both threw to some hitters. Gonsolin, Robert said Gonsolin will be heading out on a rehab assignment soon. So hopefully he'll be back soon. But it's hard to know at this point, with only 30 games left in the season, how built up are those guys going to be? Are they going to be able to be really effective? And that might make it more important to have a guy like Julio coming out of the bullpen. If you're, you know, thinking, okay, Kershaw might only be able to give us four or five innings, you know, David Price, if he does have to pitch, might only give us four or five innings, you know, a lot of things to think about. And Julio, having seen what he could do last year with pitching out of the bullpen and being that dominant multi-inning reliever, I don't think it's a bad idea at all to think about utilizing him in that role again this year. Of course, the other thing is if Kershaw's not built up, maybe Julio is the third postseason starter. Maybe, it, you know, the three real starters Dodgers have right now, Buehler, Scherzer, and Julio, maybe that's their three starters for the postseason. I'm hopeful that Kershaw will be ready to contribute in that way and that this rest will have him coming back, you know, pitching really well. But, you know, a lot of questions there with Julio, but the one thing we know is he's a really good pitcher and he looked really good on Monday. He gave up two solo home runs. He was perfect through four innings and then gave up an infield single that the official scorer got booed for calling it a hit. JT made a really nice backhanding kind of diving play and then threw to first. And the throw would have got him, but, you know, the throw was in the dirt. Muncy couldn't quite scoop it. And honestly, if there hadn't been a perfect game going on, there would have been no question that that was a hit. You know, that's a hit every single time. It's just we were all wondering, okay, since it is a perfect game, are they going to give JT an error? You know, we were chanting E5, but the score gave him a hit. Later in that same inning, somebody got a legit hit to left field, so it wasn't the end of the world. And then Julio gave up two home runs, two solo home runs in the sixth inning, the two runs he allowed. And that was it for his night. Bickford gave up a solo homer later in the game. And then, you know, there were some threats later that, you know, Blake Treinen had to really gut it out, was down 3-0 in the count, risking walking the bases loaded with one out, would have put the tying run on second base and the go-ahead run on first base. He came all the way back, struck out, I think that was Adam Duvall, and got out of that inning. All in all, just, you know, just a really good pitching performance by the Dodgers, despite the three solo home runs. You know, it was what we've come to expect from the Dodgers pitching lately, which is dominant outings. The Dodgers are now, like, they've won 14 of their last 17 games, and this was, like, the first time in that time, or, like, the second time in that time that they've actually hit well. So the pitching has kept them in games, in the division race, all that stuff. And in a minute, I'm going to talk about some signs that the offense might be starting to come around. So go ahead and keep it locked on, Dodgers. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, betonline.ag is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on Thursday, September 9th, season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys, and if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts with promo code LOCKEDON. So in Monday night's game, the Dodgers got four home runs. One was from Will Smith, which is basically what we expect from him these days. He's basically one of two and a half Dodger hitters who hasn't been slumping lately. You know, Smith and Turner and Trey Turner, that is, and AJ Pollock. Pollock hasn't been as hot as he's been lately or as he was in July, but he's still been solid. But pretty much everybody else has been struggling to some extent or another. So Will Smith getting that home run wasn't really a surprise, but the other three came from Corey Seager, Max Muncy, and Mookie Betts. And all three of those are really good signs. They weren't fluke homers. They all really, really put good wood on the ball. All three of them really had solid offensive games. It seemed like a sign that things are coming together for them, which would be awesome because, like I mentioned in the last segment, the pitching has been carrying the team. But if the Dodgers could start getting 5 to 7 runs a game to go along with that dominant pitching, that's how they're gonna pass the Giants. You know, obviously the Giants playing the Brewers right now for four games is a big deal. Hopefully the Brewers can keep doing that. They're a really good team, and hopefully they can help the Dodgers out. But you know, I mentioned there's 30 games left, and if the Dodgers go, you know, 24 and 6, you know, I'm not saying that's like the most likely thing, but that will put them at 107 wins. The Dodgers are going to win the division if they go 24-6. If they go 20-10, they have a really good chance. That's 103 wins. You know, that's about what the Giants are on pace for. So, yeah, like I get the scoreboard watching and everything. I know that's fun for us fans to do. But really what the Dodgers need to do is just take care of their own business. And a really good step towards that happening would be guys like Seager, Muncy, and Betts stepping up. You know, obviously Cody Bellinger's been struggling. If he could wake up, that would be great. We still, you know, Justin Turner's been in a little bit of a slump. Chris Taylor's been slumping. So there's still work to be done. But seeing home runs from those three guys and a couple other hits from them, you know, it was all in all just a really, really exciting sign. You know, Muncy had another base hit. JT had two hits. I guess Seager just had the... Seager did strike out. He was only 1-for-3 with 2 strikeouts. So, oh, but he had a walk. That's what it was. So, you know, all in all, really promising stuff from those guys to see what they could do. And it's like, you know, the Dodgers offense, it's so... I don't even know what the word is. Obviously, the phrase that gets tossed around all the time these days is boom or bust, and it's accurate. I don't know why I don't like that phrase. I feel like sometimes maybe what I don't like about that is sometimes people seem to get frustrated by the booms knowing that there's going to be a bust coming. And really the problem with boom or bust is not the boom. It's just the bust. It's the, you know, getting shut out by the Rockies on a Sunday afternoon. That's the frustrating part. The, you know, scoring, hitting 4 home runs to beat the Braves or scoring 14 runs in a, you know, a, whatever it is, those games are not the problem. It's the bust games. And I feel like the way to get out of that is to just have more boom games. And so to get excited when they do it. And, you know, there was some stuff working against the Dodgers. The home plate umpire, Mike Easterbrook, he did not have the best of nights. Although he's generally not a very good home plate umpire anyway, so it's not like it was surprising. But there were at least 2 called strike 3s that were really, really bad calls against the Dodgers. It was a rough night for Easterbrook, which made it rougher on the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers had their 5 runs after 3 innings and then basically didn't get much else. And that was partly because, you know, the umpiring was not in their favor. And we've talked before about how a team like the Dodgers is more affected by bad umpiring because their approach is built on discipline. And when the pitch is out of the strike zone, they just don't swing at it. And when they don't swing and it gets called a strike anyway, that takes them out of their game plan. That's really frustrating. So, you know, all in all, it was one of those games where, yeah, it was awesome that they got those 5 runs early because that ended up being all they had. And seeing the 4 home runs, a lot of people talk about, you know, they're too dependent on the home run. And the fact is, you know, when they homer, they're successful. And so if anything, they need to be hitting more home runs, not fewer home runs. And, you know, seeing those 3 guys specifically, Seager, Muncy, and Betts homer, really does make it a promising thing as the Dodgers kind of go into this final stretch of the season. Hopefully this last month they can catch the Giants, pass them up, maybe even this week, you know, when they head into San Francisco at the end of the week. Just an exciting time, and it's one of those things I was realizing this week, by the end of this week, like by the time Vince and I record our podcast on Sunday night for Monday, this whole season could be totally different, or it could be like, you know, I feel like we're going to have a lot better idea what the Dodgers' chances are by the time we record Monday's episode. Because either the Dodgers will have already passed the Giants or they will have squandered a chance to pass the Giants. And either one of those things is going to tell us a lot about the future. So I'm kind of excited that. Kind of excited to see what's going to happen. I'm excited. It was great to be in Dodger Stadium again tonight. It had been about 6 weeks since I had been there. And I missed it. And I'm excited to be back on Wednesday. I kicked around the idea while I was driving back to my parents' house on Monday night. I kicked around the idea of going to Tuesday's game too, but I don't think I will. I think I will just be there on Wednesday. You might have seen me on TV if you were watching the game on TV. In the first inning, there was a good angle of me when A.J. Pollock made the catch on Freddie Freeman's pop-up or fly-out right by the wall for the 3rd out of the top of the first inning. I was standing about 6 feet from AJ Pollock when he caught that. I didn't interfere, and I was telling him, you got room, AJ, you got room. So, basically, I'm responsible for that win, and you're welcome. So, I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about, a couple weird things that happened in the eighth inning with the weird interference call that went to instant replay and then double-switching Mookie out of the game, just kind of the odds and ends of the game. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. There are a ton of different kinds of cars, which means a ton of different kinds of auto parts. And there's no way that your local auto parts store can stock everything you need. So either you'll buy a generic part or they will have to order in the part and you'll have to go back to the auto parts store to pick it up when it's in. And guess what? That is silly because Rock Auto exists. RockAuto.com is a website where you can just go on your own computer and find your part. It's really easy to navigate. You just put in your make and model of car and it shows you all the parts available. Chances are they're going to have the part and you can order it and they will be shipped directly to your house. And the best part is it will cost you a lot less than the auto parts store would have anyway. So it saves time, it saves money. Those are the two most valuable things of the world, time and money. So basically what I'm saying is Rock Auto is the most valuable thing in the world. I've used it personally. This is not just an ad I'm reading because they pay me to. I love Rock Auto. I have three cars now that my daughter's a driver. And I have bought parts on rockauto.com for all three cars, and I love it. It's a great website. It's a great way to save time and money when you need auto parts. So if you ever need auto parts, go to rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, last segment. Just want to talk about a couple weird things I'm pretty sure it was the eighth inning. Actually, I know it was the eighth inning. Corey Kniebel was pitching. Ozzie Albies was on first base with one out, and Jorge Soler was at the plate. And on a 1-1 count, Albies took off for second base. Soler swung and missed. Will Smith's throw down to second went into center field. Luckily, Albies didn't see that, and so he stayed at second. But on Soler's swing, he swung so far all the way around that his bat hit Will Smith in the back, and then Soler kind of stumbled across the plate too, and so he made contact and he got in Smith's way, and so the umpires initially called Soler out and Albies out, and the Dodgers came off the field. And Albies was confused, argued with the umpire. Mookie Betts stopped by to talk with them too. And the Braves eventually challenged it. And it was confusing to a lot of people. We in the stadium, it was really weird because I'm pretty well-versed in the rules. And I felt like it was a misapplied rule. And everybody, I think, watching on TV was kind of confused about what was going on in the end. So I've figured out what happened, and maybe they explained this pretty well on TV. I don't know if they did or not. But I thought it was interesting. So I wanted to talk about it. So basically, the main thing they were reviewing, so interference calls are not reviewable. So what they were reviewing was to find out what the count was on Soler, because Mike Esterbrook, the home plate umpire, when he called interference, he thought that it was strike three on Soler. And that is important for that situation because when Soler's bat came around and hit Smith, Soler is out. That is according to Rule 603A3. says a batter is out for illegal action when he interferes with a catcher's fielding or throwing by stepping out of the batter's box or making any other movement that hinders the catcher's play at home base. And so on the in the comment on that rule, it says if the batter interferes with the catcher, the play umpire shall call interference. The batter is out and the ball is dead. No player shall may advance on such interference, and all runners must return to the last base that was in the judgment umpire legally touched at the time of interference. So, according to that rule, Soler is out for interfering with Will Smith. But because Estabrook thought that Soler had already struck out, well, that would make Albies out instead of Soler because Soler's already out. And so it would have been a double play. And so what they're reviewing was the count and seeing that, okay, we had the count wrong. And so it was only strike two on Soler. So we're back to Soler being out and Albies having to go back to first base. And so that's why after the replay, the umpire held up the 1-2 count, which meant it's 1-2 on Soler now. And so he's out for interference and Albies just goes back to first base. Ended up not really mattering. Blake Trinan came in, got the third out of the inning. Not that big a deal, but it was confusing and interesting. And basically what it boiled down to was the umpires not being aware of the count. They eventually applied the rule correctly once they knew what the count was. And it just was really confusing because in the stadium, they didn't really announce anything because I don't think many people knew what was going on, or at least they weren't announcing. And eventually they just kind of flashed it up on the Jumbotron, said the ruling is Jorge Soler is out for batter interference. So it was really interesting anyway and confusing, but it was good that they got it right. Right after that play, Dave Roberts did come out and make a switch. He did a double switch, bringing in Blake Trinan to get that third out, taking Knebel out of the game. And there was some consternation in the stadium and on social media that Mookie Betts was double switched out of the game. And for me, it just made so much sense. And I couldn't really understand why people were upset about it. Because in the previous inning, in the bottom of the seventh, I guess, Justin Turner made the third out. Mookie Betts had been the second to last hitter. And the point of a double switch is to change the pitcher's spot in the lineup. So you're switching guys out, two guys, you know, a pitcher and a fielder, and you're swapping their lineup spots. And so when you do a double switch, it's always one of the last couple guys to get out in the previous inning because then you're moving the pitcher spot back by seven or eight spots in the lineup, basically, because you're saying, okay, or at least putting it seven or eight spots away from the current spot in the lineup. So the Dodgers brought in Cody Bellinger to replace Mookie Betts, which meant that Blake Trinan was now, his spot in the lineup was eight batters away. And it just makes so much sense. They could have taken Justin Turner out. I mean, that's your ideal double switch, is to take out the guy who just made the third out. But taking Turner out would have meant, you know, you still bring Bellinger in and move Chris Taylor to third base. You know, it didn't make a lot of sense to do that, especially because at that point in the game, it's the top of the eighth inning. So it was unlikely that either Betts or Turner's spot would get up again. So really, it didn't matter which one of them you double switched out as far as the effectiveness of the double switch. So it made sense, you know, with Mookie, whether they still have concerns about his hip or not. I think a defensive outfield of Chris Taylor in right and Cody Bellinger in center is really solid. And it just made sense because, like I said, there was very low chance that that would backfire because Mookie's spot in the lineup was extremely unlikely to come up again anyway. And so not having Mookie in the lineup is something that they weren't going to miss. It was like a 1 in 1,000 chance that it could backfire. And yeah, you know, sometimes those 1 in 1,000 chances happen, but you know how often they happen? Once out of every 1,000 times. That's the definition of 1 out of 1,000. So I get the emotional side of taking Mookie out of the game on his bobblehead night, a night that he homered, a night that his mom threw out the first pitch, all that stuff. But if you look at it just, you know, dispassionately, just from the managerial decision, it's a no-brainer and an obvious right decision by Dave Roberts. And so, you know, I thought it was interesting that so many people were upset about it when it just made so much sense. So other than that, you know, it was a good game. It was a fun game to be at. I really enjoyed it. I got to meet quite a few of you. listeners. Several people came up and said hi. Some people on purpose, some people just saw me. It was a great night for meeting people. I got to meet my friend Yoli, who's been my Twitter BFF for a couple of years. She listens to this show all the time, and she and I, we've been friends on Twitter for a couple of years now, and today was the first time we met in person. A few others of you got to meet in person, so really enjoyed that. I'll be back on Wednesday. I think I'm going to sit Baseline Club again. I really like the seats I was in, and I met the guy who owns them for the season tickets, and I think I'm going to sit there again on Wednesday, so I look forward to seeing more of you guys there. All in all, a great day for baseball. Fun to be back at Dodger Stadium and fun to talk Dodgers with you guys. So thank you all for listening. I really appreciate that. If you're not already subscribed or following Locked On Dodgers, please do that wherever you get your podcasts. If you're not listening every day, we'd love it if you add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. We'd love it if you listened every day. We really like doing this show for you guys, and we love knowing that you're listening. So if you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, tell them about the show. They might like it too. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.